Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back once again to the Men's Rooms podcast, a podcast where we talk all things men. Really good subject today with my great friend Rory Jennings. We're talking education. Education. I like the way you just popped your head up there.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's about as important as you can possibly discuss, isn't it? As a concept, it's about as important as it gets.
That's interesting. Do you think so?
Yeah, it's at the genesis of everything. Everything that you think about, everything that happens from this point on, it's all due to educations and varying degrees of it. And, you know, obviously I have a daughter now.
Yeah.
The thing that I will gift her, like guaranteed, the one thing that I will provide her, and it's non-negotiable, this will happen, I will give her the best education that I can afford to. Like everything else, you know, in terms of what I give, I will be fairly miserly because I think it's a good strategy in terms of like creating her as a person and hoping that she evolves into the best person that she can be. I certainly won't be lavishing her with gifts and whatever, because I think it can have a detrimental impact to development. But what I will give in a most flowing way that I possibly can.
The best possible education.
Yes. Yeah. The amount of time, I mean, we've moved house in order to secure
a school.
The best. Yeah.
That's like crazy. Like, see, that's still something that obviously I don't understand. As someone that doesn't have kids, I don't get that. But that's a thing, isn't it? Where you move to an area.
Yeah.
Just to make sure you are...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
in that catchment area for the best possible schools.
It becomes your conversation. You know, I think people who have been through various journeys in their life, particularly getting married, having a baby, whatever, you get the focus on your life. So, for example, when you propose, from the second that you propose, the conversation that you'll have at dinner with your fiancé will be the wedding. Then the wedding happens, and then the baby will come, and then the conversation is the baby. The conversation that once the baby is no longer a baby, you know, once she's a toddler or whatever, the conversation then becomes schooling.
That's interesting though, because that's a conversation for those, I guess, that can afford it. So your average Joe, like we're filming this in Stratford, right? The majority of people here will be, you know, I wouldn't say below the breadline, but they're not going to be sort of affluent and wealthy. They're not thinking, let's move to an area because of school.
I think they are. I think they're almost more inclined to be thinking like that.
Yeah.
So I think, look, you know, touch wood, I'm fully aware of how lucky a situation I'm in at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we've moved to an area where the schools are good, but the school that we've opted for is a private one.
Mm.
But if you don't have that luxury, and I appreciate that it's a complete luxury, if you don't have that, you're almost more, I kind of implore you more to move out.
Do you think your mum did then?
Well, I had a weird education because...
Yeah, let's start. Let's go back to...
I had a crazy education when I think back, really, because I was a recipient of something called an assisted place, which was for single-parent families. This is obviously... this is going back.
We're talking 90s. He's 50, really.
We're talking 90s. And I think it would have been the Tory government of the... 90s.
Okay, John Major.
Yes, that era created or had a concept called an assisted place. And effectively what that was, it was for children. I think they would prioritise single-parent families, which was me, from an underprivileged background, to go to a better school, an assisted place. So you got a place in a private school.
You went to private school, Rory? I knew
at,
it.
At that point, at one
what
point
age are we
life,
talking? What age are we talking?
13.
I knew it. So at 13, I knew you went to private school.
At 13, I went to a private school off the back of an assisted place.
What was it called?
It was called Mill Hill School.
Okay.
And I was there for 2 years, but I...
got naughty.
I was only there for 2 years. Yeah, it didn't suit me at all. I was a fish out of water, really. Mm. It was not suited to who I was. We played rugby.
Yeah.
And ultimately...
That's a proper...
The assisted place was withdrawn because of my conduct. And I then had to go into a theatre school because... I was effectively expelled between years.
So you're talking year 9?
Year 10 and 11. Year 10 and 11. Which is halfway between the two GCSEs.
Yeah, yeah.
GCSEs is a 2 year course, isn't it? I was expelled after 1 year. Mm. So that was problematic for many reasons. One of them is there was a conversation, do I need to resit a year? Mm. I was like, hang on a minute. I haven't got a big cone with a D on it. I'm not going back a year. I'm not going to be sort of a year behind because I was kicked out halfway through. So the only place that I could find that would let me in
was theatre school.
Was theatre school.
What do you have, Sylvia Young?
Because I had a relationship with them and they knew me and they did me a favour effectively.
Sylvia Young.
And so I went from a fairly strict boys' school that did Saturdays and played rugby. Suddenly there's a bird over there doing the splits eating a lot. I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is incredible.
It's quite similar to mine. Not the birds doing the splits, but I went to an all-boys school, Rokeby, which is no longer actually. It's Stratford. It literally is just over there. I'm pointing because it literally is just 5 minutes from here. Rough as can be.
Mm,
like, all bad. Boys. Back then, I'd say predominantly Caribbean and white.
Right.
And then there was a few Africans started to then eventually come. So you had the Ghanaians, the Nigerians, and the Somalians started to come. But that was rough. I mean, you had to have a fight. Even if you avoided it, it was going to come your way. Yeah. Everyone wanted this kind of proof.
See, that's
of,
terrifying. You know, just saying that, and you kind of say it fairly flippantly.
Yeah.
And you say it as like as a normal thing. And I totally understand that. Where I lived was that.
Yeah.
But it's now, particularly when I look at things through the prism of being a father, I think... Like, I don't want Clementine to ever have a fight in her entire life. I don't want her to ever see a fight in her entire life. This natural aggression, this natural pecking order, this sort of survival of the fittest.
That's what it was.
It's terrifying.
It was literally who's the strongest in the class, who's the strongest in the year, who's the strongest in the school.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it really matters.
It was
matters.
The most important thing ever at the time.
Do you know, now I don't think I've been impressed. In fact, now I'm actually actively unimpressed with how hard you are. Doesn't or how many really goals you've you, or anything.
Silly.
I
now,
don't care.
Look, it's the most
but that was it
thing.
Then, wasn't it? That was the priority.
That was. And I was unlucky and lucky because my brother was in the final year as I was entering.
That's great.
So everyone was like, oh, don't touch him. He's Shay's brother. You can't, like, you know, whatever. But I loved school. Absolutely loved it. I met my best friends there. It's kind of where I felt like I became, because bear in mind, I'd come from foster parents and I'd done it a year in primary school here. And I still didn't really know who I was. Then in school, I almost became, oh, okay, he's the fastest runner. Oh, he's good at football. And I kind of then enjoyed school for that. And I actually done quite well in my GCSEs, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any...
Did you focus at school? Were you like into the academia?
My mum made it. So my mum was very hard on it. My sister had a baby young. She had a baby at 16. My brother, very naughty. So it was like, okay, someone from this family's got to tick some boxes. It's you. So my mum actually got me a private tutor for maths, private tutor for English. So I had to succeed. So for me in school, it was football, studying.
Yeah.
That was it. So I'd done well in the GCSEs, went to college and effed up.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't even care. No. Done A-levels, accounts, IT and economics. But like what you mentioned about having sort of girls doing bloody splits next to you, I had girls sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Girls in the common room.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the most important. Yeah, that was it. So all I cared about was looking good in Machino and Iceberg.
Yeah. Where's the Avericks jacket? Yeah. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I look back on those days fondly.
Mm.
I look back on schooling. I look back on it as like a very happy time.
Did you have a uniform?
It was at theatre school. It's very weird. Do you know how we did it? Do you know how going to theatre school is, the process? On a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you go to school in the conventional term as possible. Mm. So you wear a jacket, you wear a tie, you go to school.
Do you think that's silly?
On a Thursday,
do you think that's silly?
No, I don't.
The jacket and the tie and the blazer.
I think it's important.
No. When I see kids with it and the jacket's all big and the trousers are baggy and the shirt's out, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, they look ridiculous, but it's a rite of passage. Everyone has to do it. Yeah. And also, I do think it's important.
To look smart.
Yeah, like, I've got no interest. So when we first had our daughter, we lived in Northwest London. Mm. Since then, we've moved schooling, right? But we lived in Northwest London. And a school that we considered going to was a school sort of in Hampstead Heath. It's called King Alfred's, and the way that they operate is a very incredibly privileged school, incredibly. And I've always been aspirational. Like when I was young, you know, I've always kind of looked to the better things. I thought, my kid will go there. You know, now I'm older, I wouldn't. Because they don't wear a uniform, they call the teacher their first name, and that works, right? That works for some kids, and I get it. But no, that isn't how...
Teacher
the first name. No uniform.
That's a sin.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
That's a sin. Because I remember... certain for me, those teachers in my school were probably the biggest influences in my life. Like I had my teacher from year 7 to 11, Miss Sobrian, amazing sort of black teacher, very almost mother figure like. So we had a few black students in the school, and every time we'd get naughty, she would all bring us to the side like, you're letting us down. She'd be like that. We had Mr. Frill for PE, Scottish guy, always used to wear shorts no matter the weather. Adidas Samba trainers, shorts to show his big thighs all the time, no matter what. Mr. Rice as well, who was a bit of a drunk. There used to be a pub right opposite the school.
He'd go coming in, out of there. Yeah.
And we wouldn't understand it. As kids, we didn't understand. Like, why is he
probably having a meeting in there.
Yeah, yeah. But always come out. What's going on? Is he okay? Not knowing what that drink was. So for me, teachers were a massive, massive influence in my life back then.
But you see, I look back on it really fondly. Like when I think of my schooling, and I think of particularly going to the theatre school from the boys' school, sort of look back on it and think that was amazing. And it was a massive release because I'd gone into that school on this assisted place, never found a home really, like never really made any mates. I was fine. I was friends with everyone, but actually friends with no one. The pastimes didn't suit me. Suddenly I got this release. Suddenly I've got no commute. School's in Marylebone. Lisson Grove, in fact, which is sort of right where I was from. I'm in this school, there's girls everywhere. It's taken much, everything's a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you go to school and you wear a blazer and tie and you do proper lessons. Thursday, Friday, you're wearing a tracksuit, like a uniformed tracksuit, but a tracksuit nonetheless. Yeah. You're wearing a tracksuit and your first lesson of the day is speech, your second one is ballet, your third one is tap, your fourth one
is
drama.
Ballet.
Ballet was amazing. I'm not joking.
You
would love it.
No, but you did.
Ballet was amazing.
You did it.
I did ballet for this whole year. But ballet, no, you see, ballet has those connotations. It's funny. Ballet has the connotations.
Did you wear the tight
and your smirk.
Did you wear the tight things, though?
But your smirk.
Did you wear the tight things? That's all I want to know.
The leotard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you know what? So if you're going to ridicule, if this is your vibe, chap is the thing to ridicule.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
Because you know what ballet was? And obviously this is specific to the teacher that we had. But for the boys, all ballet was strength, and it was great.
Yeah,
it was like planks and stretching and squats, and it was ballet became a strength class, which I thoroughly enjoyed because by that point I was playing football all the time, not to any level, but I was playing football all the time as my hobby and my passion. I was keen on learning stretching, learning about the human body, learning about the muscles. So ballet was actually something that I really took to. I never want to tap dance again. No, I've got no intention of ever tap dancing. The time steps will never happen. But the ballet side of things was actually, it was actually part of, and obviously this is the entire point, but it was part of the education. It was like the predetermined stereotype of a ballet dancer in my head was so wrong. Because the strongest teacher that we had, the most masculine teacher that we had in terms of the dance side of things, and in fact, he was the most masculine teacher across my entire schooling, was the ballet teacher. He was the one who could pick anyone up above his head. You know, my laddie English teacher couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Could barely hold his own weight.
It's interesting that you equate masculinity to that. Back in the day, when I equated masculinity to the guy in the pub having a fight back then, that was
Masculinity, the most masculine experience, weirdly, in terms of values and posture and strength and discipline, ballet was great for me. It really, like, I really did take to that in as most in the most superficial way possible. In the way that when I was 10, I took to karate. Do you know what I mean? I was never going to be a...
Who didn't? All those kickboxing movies.
Yeah.
Everyone took to karate. What?
Exactly.
Yeah, wax on, wax off was very important.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi.
What about like bullying and detention in school? Was you ever bullied?
No.
Or can you admit that you were a bully?
No, I certainly wasn't one. Mm. I certainly wasn't a bully. I was always very aware of the vulnerable kid.
Yeah.
I was always very protective of the vulnerable kid. And I wasn't a bully. I perhaps went through a spell of being, maybe I was unhappy a bit in the private school when I was there. In the second year when it was all going wrong, I definitely had a chip on my shoulder and I sort of thought I was rock hard because I had a ring on my finger and a fag in my mouth. And at that point, I was perhaps on the front foot, but not a bully. I had fights. Mm. I was quite aggressive. Mm. I was also a foot shorter than everyone, and that was a bit of an issue for me. I think I cared. Yeah, I mean, you could laugh like that if you were 6'2", but the fact that you're 4 inches taller than me.
6 inches.
But no, I think being the... Like, I was tiny, Addy. I mean, I'm small now, obviously. Mm. But I was tiny, like absolutely tiny. To the level where, I mean, I never saw a doctor. But you know when you think, you know how Lionel Messi had those injections in his back?
Yeah.
I would have definitely qualified. Yeah, I would have definitely qualified. I was absolutely tiny and looked even younger than I was. Mm. So that was an issue. But then I would push back and I would really be on the front foot. But then obviously you just get beaten up because you end up having a fight with somebody who's a foot taller than you and weighs twice as much.
Yeah.
So you're struggling.
No, you are. I remember, like, I certainly wasn't a bully in school. Again, almost looked out for the vulnerable kids, like you say. But I do remember sort of having fights with other schools.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not glorifying this because those schools were hard. Mm. Like, the schools around here called St. Bond's and Tom Hood School, and we're Rokeby, all boys schools.
Yeah.
So it was almost a bit like football hooliganism, where you will arrange to have a scrap.
Yeah, with somebody from another school.
Yeah, and it got to the point where it got a bit dangerous. So I remember at sort of 13, 14, you know, if you play them at football and you feel like you've been sort of mistreated, you're going to have a little scrap. I know it sounds crazy, but you're going to have a scrap. Teachers walk away. They can't control too many kids. It's impossible to. And then it got to a stage. I remember like it was yesterday, actually, when my friend Alton Farewell.
Yeah, he's a footballer.
Went on to play for Tottenham, yeah. He had a fight with someone, Stratford Centre, just behind Stratford Centre. So there was no beautiful Westfield like there is now. It was old school Stratford Centre. And people sort of bought baseball bats, knives.
Yeah, terrifying.
And I was like, this isn't it anymore, is it?
No.
This has actually got to the stage where this has now become a bit serious. And our head teacher, Richard Jarman, remember one day called everyone that he assumed was involved in this to the assembly hall, brought Miss O'Brien out again because she's like the spokesperson for the young black boys at the time. Is like, okay, enough. Mm. Like, you guys are fighting literally every other week. Stop or you're going to get expelled. And I remember getting expelled from school. Expelled is when you're out completely. Yeah. Suspended. Suspended, apologies. I remember getting suspended from school because of a fight. And I remember waiting for the envelope to come home. Like, literally waiting for the postman.
Your mum was going to find out.
Yeah, like, see, my mum, temper back then. So I remember every morning I'd hear the postman, I would bolt down.
Intercept.
So I could see it. Yeah, I could see the letter. Yeah. So I remember seeing the letter and thinking, yes, I've got the letter. I remember just ripping it to shreds. And I remember getting dressed as though I was going to school for 3 days and just going to the library. Yeah. So my mum, until this time, had never known.
Do you know I had a similar thing? When I left the school that I was at Mill Hill School, the reason, and this is incredibly unjust, you know, if you actually think about this would never happen today. Mm. So I was in that school on an assisted place because I was from a single parent family that was less privileged.
Yeah.
We went on a tour. We went to Cologne, like part of a German thing. Mm. We were playing sport over there. And
is that what private schools do?
Yeah, I think that must be fairly standard. Yeah, yeah. But we're in Cologne, and me and three others climbed out the window of the place we were staying and just went into the town. Nothing.
Why'd you do that?
Just interest, really, naughtiness,
so
natural.
You knew you weren't allowed?
Yeah, of course. Okay, yeah. It was midnight or something ridiculous. And obviously, there's like four 14-year-old English boys walking around. The police were on us immediately. We got taken back. We were playing something. We were playing a sporting contest. And I remember the teacher, it's actually incredibly disingenuous from him.
Oh, here we go.
But no, it is. It really is.
I'll tell the story and I'll be the judge.
Fine. He obviously wanted me to play to the maximum of my ability. And he basically said, look, play this tournament. We're going to win the game. And then we'll forget about this. Effectively massaged it. Nobody needs to know about this. So when we got back to the school on the coach, I remember the coach pulling up. It's about 4 a.m. Everyone's getting off. When I come off the coach, like, I'm thinking that I'm just going to be like, everything's fine. I could see my mum standing there, but crying as I've got off the coach. I was like, oh, she knows.
Mm.
So the four of us that did it, the four of us that escaped, nothing really happened to the three others, but the slightly more underprivileged, less affluent kid had that bursary effectively withdrawn. So they didn't kick me out of the school, but they said, you now don't qualify, you've broken
the
chain.
You now have to pay for it yourself.
Yeah, which my mum obviously couldn't do. So that's I had to leave the school. Crying. But isn't that effectively how that's so separatist?
Yeah.
You're taking, you're allowing somebody, no punishment has befallen the kids who were wealthier, but the poorer kid has had to leave the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that's incredibly unjust.
Yeah, no, I agree with you now.
Like, overall, it was probably right.
You shouldn't have climbed out the window.
I shouldn't have climbed out the window. But it should be equal punishment.
Yeah.
Whatever punishment hits me has to hit the same. You know, we've all committed the same offence.
So, you know, like, you obviously done that private school, then you went to Silver Young. Are you doing GCSEs while still in Silver Young?
Yeah, that's where I had to go and sit my GCSEs.
Okay, how well did you do?
Yeah, fine, good.
A's?
Fine, yeah, whatever it would have been. It would have been 4 A stars, 4 A's, but yeah, it would have been.
Are you being serious?
No, seriously, yeah, it would have been that. Okay. I always had quite a natural aptitude for exams. I used to get really nervous and take them really seriously, but I was always all right. I didn't particularly concentrate at school.
I didn't get any A's. I can't pretend I was going to lie, but at no point. I got B's and C's. I got enough to carry on.
Yeah, it gets you into.
What did you do A-levels?
A-levels, I did English, History, Politics. Made a bit of a pig's ear of them. I ended up getting BBC.
Okay. That's a pig's ear.
BBC was a pig's ear because my conditional offer was to go to Leeds University.
Okay.
And I needed ABB or whatever it would have been. So I didn't get in.
I was thinking I was going to go to London School of Economics because I was really good at economics. I got NU something E completely. And the funny thing is, I remember knowing, you know when you know you've messed up?
Mm.
I know I'd messed up. And I remember that everyone's going to pick up their results. And I remember thinking, if I tell my mum the results, I'm out. I'm out of that house. There's no two ways about it. She thinks I've been studying. I've been not studying. I've been partying, meeting girls.
Anything but.
I was working at Burger King. At the time, I was working at Burger King in Beckton. I remember thinking at the time, Burger King is more of a priority than studying. Because Burger King gave me money, and that means I had the latest clothes.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily misguided as a young man. Yeah. I think that you can understand why you would do that. You needed to earn some money.
I needed to earn some money. Yeah. I just thought, Pythagoras theory is great,
but we don't put any bread on my table today, does it?
So I was like, Ade, do you want to do an extra shift? And I was like, when? 10 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about studying. So for me, university never happened. Yeah. I didn't even think of it as a thing. That's kind of when I got kicked out of my house. Went into a homeless hostel and studying then was done. There was a point of me like, okay, just resit your A-levels, resit it.
Yeah.
But I never did. And it certainly affected me going forward. Because in my mind, I remember applying for jobs and thinking, okay, my threshold, my limit here is 25 grand a year. But I can't, I've no qualifications.
Yeah.
I've no degree, I've no A-levels, what can I do?
It's a terrifying moment. It's a terrifying moment. For me, I didn't take it as, like, you were looking for jobs. I was a chancer for a lot longer. But when you have that moment, that sort of realization where you think, this is me, my level is this.
Yeah.
It is a terrifying moment. And this brings us back to where we initially started this conversation, which was why the gift that I will give in the most generous possible way to Clementine is an education.
Yeah, I think
I'll tell her no everything. You can't have a car. I don't care about your whatever. You're not getting a mobile phone till you can buy one yourself. Nothing. You're not going to get anything.
That starting
but
life
you will get school.
Is, you can't beat it.
Yeah, you will.
Honestly, you can't beat it. I've got some stats here for us. This is an interesting one. On average, women, this doesn't even surprise me, by the way, outperform men in all educational environments.
Yeah, I don't think that's at all surprising.
They're smart, aren't they? I remember girls next to me in college, and these were the girls in the common room. Mm. So these are girls that are out and about with me in the common room, you know, not going to class. And what did you get, A? And like, how did you get an A?
How did you get an A
when we were doing exactly the same nonsense?
Do you know what it is as well? And I don't think you're allowed to say this because it's kind of seen as being sexist, but it's not. They're so much more mature. They're so much cleverer, not necessarily in an academic way, but just in like a sensible way.
Yeah.
Like Victoria at 15 compared to me at 15. I didn't know her at 15. Mm. But I just know that she would have been so much more together than I was. Mm. So much more together, so much more with it, so much more on point, so much more focused. Mm. There's no surprise to me that women outperform men.
What about the argument? I think there's some sort of famous rich people. I think Bill Gates is one that didn't finish studying.
Yeah.
I think there's a few others as well. Obviously, you're going to get the ones and twos that don't finish it. But do you think, like, there are some people where...
It's the Jeremy Clarkson...
studying a subject, yeah?
It's the Jeremy Clarkson annual tweet, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
I didn't finish studying and I'm currently sending this tweet from my yacht.
Studying isn't for them. There are some people that, you know, reading a book and having to... Basically, all you're doing is memorising what you've been taught isn't for them.
I think it's a dangerous thing. Look, there are exceptions to every rule. Of course, some people have a natural aptitude for business and they can focus on that and they don't need to worry. But I think everybody needs to focus on their education.
Yeah.
I think you get the occasional anomaly.
Yeah.
What I do think, I think, you know, this emphasis into university, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think university is for everyone. And I think, you know, if you leave university with an English lit degree, brilliant. You are probably incredible company at dinner. You have a great knowledge of the arts.
Recommend a book for
us. You have great knowledge of the arts. Yeah. You're really interesting. And that's very important as well, by the way. But what's your job?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? Well, I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
A subject's different now, do you think?
Because, well, you know, life is different.
Life is different, isn't it?
Life is different.
And I wonder, if you are picking A-levels, do you... Like, how are you picking something at 16? You're thinking about it's going to be my future when I'm 30?
Because the world was very different. When, like, it changes massively since we were young. It changed massively.
What did you want to be then? When you picked your subject... Politics and English lit.
But it didn't
be
matter.
A politician?
No, never. But it didn't matter. The point was a degree.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, obviously I was the first person in my family tree to have ever gone to university. Mm. So it felt like an achievement in itself. And going to university was very good for me. I don't regret going at all. I learned to live on my own. I learned how to become an adult. I met some good people. I lived in Liverpool for 3 years, which was fantastic. There were loads of good things. But I think this coercion almost into university, and anyone can go to any university and get a degree, and degrees have almost become meaningless. I think that for a lot of people degrees are great and university is great, but I also think for a lot of people they should finish school at 16, get a trade, get learning, get earning.
I
really do.
Which I don't know if it exists now, but that certainly exists when we were young. There was your YT schemes, weren't there?
There were, but there was a coercion among our age group, I think, for university. There was a push for university, getting people that have never been from their families into 100%. University. There was a push.
Yeah.
And also, I think the world was a lot kinder when we were young. So when I was picking my subjects in 05, you could finish in 08 and have a bit of a... Take a chance. See what happens. Come out of university with an English Lit degree. Come out of university with a politics degree. And hope for the best, because the world is quite open to that. Whereas now, particularly because of recent circumstances, an education is so vital, so pivotal, because there aren't jobs out there. You know, you've got people with degrees that can't get work. You've got people with degrees. So I think now, unless your degree is... You know, if you go to university and you study veterinary science, you come out of university and you're a vet. You come out of university and you're a dentist.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are some specific subjects. Like if you study aerospace engineering,
You're
going to get,
But
if it's just English language,
what are you doing?
Then what you,
what's your job coming out of university? What are you studying?
No.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I left university with a politics degree, which was great for my education. It made me more well-rounded. It perhaps made me more confident. Loads of things. But if I needed a job off the back of that, then wouldn't have got one.
Mm.
I went to be an actor because I was a chancer and it was better than having a real job.
Yeah.
But you could then, whereas I feel like we're moving into a situation where education is now the key.
How would you path out your education from 11? If you could go back now and say, okay, so 11's when you first start secondary school until sort of a back end of uni, what would you do? How would it be looking back now?
I look back on it. I actually wouldn't change anything.
No,
I probably shouldn't have got slung out.
Yeah.
But I also think that experience was... It was very tough on my mum, but like going to a private school for those years was actually an eye opener for me and something that is good to have witnessed. Mm. If only to kind of discount it, because I think that when you aren't from that background, which I wasn't, you could almost lionize that background and think private schools are brilliant and there must be. Whereas actually everyone there was an idiot, like genuine, like the vast majority of people were thick.
Mm.
And it was good for me to think that. Because then, when I'm older, I meet someone with a posh accent and a pair of red trousers and a Ralph Lauren polo, and I think, don't give me that because you've got the accent. You're a mug. And I know you are because I went to school with you. Mm. And it was good for me to know that. You know this, I think there is a swathe of people that can be fazed by a posh accent or a privileged accent.
Mm.
I got that out of my system very young because I was from an estate in Kilburn, spoke the way that I do, and I was slapping these people up in school in terms of like academia.
Mm.
So it was good for me. So I wouldn't change anything. The only thing I'd change is I've got that vision of my mum's face burnt into my soul where she was crying when I was expelled. I'd rather that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that's for my mum's benefit, not mine.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I would change mine partly for my mum's benefit, but also mine. So I'd certainly still go to the first school I went, Rokeby.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that sort of made me become a man very quickly, because it was a tough school. It was sort of mentally very difficult, but you grew up in it. Obviously, I guess if you're quote unquote weak, it might swallow you. But for me, it kind of made me a lot stronger. And then I would definitely concentrate more on my A-levels. Like, I was smart enough to smash my A-levels. Like, I knew I was.
Got one regret, actually.
Yeah.
When you say it like
smart
that.
Smart enough to smash my A-levels, and I should have done. And then I should have gone university.
Yeah.
Because if I did go university, then I look at me and my mum's relationship and it's different. Because she was very, very hurt by the fact that she's thinking I'm going to college and studying, and I'm not, I'm just dossing around.
But is it not the deceit that upsets you more than the fact that you... Like, you know, if you'd been totally frank with her and said, I'm not going to go to university.
No, I think I would have gone, because, again, I was doing, like, crappy sales jobs. Like, anything just to get by.
Yeah.
And that's because I didn't have a degree and because I didn't have any A-levels. Mm. I always felt like I could talk well. So, you know, I'd convince you in the interview, and then they would look down and, what's your education? You just stopped at GCSEs. Ah. So I was getting like sales jobs. Remember, I think I spoke to you when I was in London Bridge. I said, I worked for a company called Pitney Bowes.
Yeah.
Selling Franken machines.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing with you guys? Yeah. See what I mean? So I feel like my path to where I am now would have been a lot easier if I had a degree. So I should have. Look, I can still do it now.
Get a degree. Do you know now, what, Eddie? I'm not telling you how to write your story at all, but I would say that the situation that you're in today is probably the best situation you could have possibly dreamed of.
Yeah.
Think about your lifestyle.
Oh, mate.
Like, I don't even ask you what it's like in LA anymore, because it's be like, oh, me asking you what it's like in Stratford. You're there
kinda
so
go,
often.
I kind of go.
What's it like in LA? Yeah, it's home, mate. Like, if you look at your life now, I think it's a dangerous ploy to start thinking I would have changed this and that, because you've got there, and maybe your journey was slightly broad. Maybe there was a yellow brick road that was followed that shouldn't have been, or whatever. But equally, the destination has been reached.
And
the journey along the way is part of the fun. So perhaps it's all for a reason.
Keep Burger King,
the man that you are today might have been helped. The person that you are today, the values and whatever, might have been shaped by the fact that you had to go and work at Burger King. It might, like, our friendship is based on, you know, true values and a bond and friendship and loyalty. All of those things, they don't only come from university. They come from who you are at school and the ethics that are taught to you from the elders in the area. And I think it's a risky strategy.
When we say education as well, obviously, look, we're talking school and academia, but you're right, you can get a lot of education from people sort of out on the streets.
We know when you were talking about, and it became a fight, like when, you know, you said people had baseball bats and it became an actual fight. That's part of the education. That is education.
100%.
I remember when I went to these under 18 balls, and you had to wear a tux. They used to do them at like Camden, really good venues. Camden Palace, Bagley's.
Hey, Bagley's, yeah.
They used to do them in really good venues. Yeah. And I remember going there with the kids from my area, like everybody from Kilburn would go all together. We'd get the 31 bus from Kilburn High Road round to Camden Palace. And a couple of the fellas didn't have a bow tie. And I remember it so well. On the bus, they effectively took a bow tie off two other boys that were on the bus, not with us. And just took their bow tie. Give me their bow tie. Because they didn't have one, they put one on and they went in, and obviously these boys probably didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that was as integral to the person that I became and the way that my eyes are open and the streetwise nature of my life and being savvy. That moment has got to be up there with being taught algebra.
No, 100%. There are kids running around now, and look, fingers crossed, I've got a lot of nephews, and fingers crossed their paths don't go too far to the wrong side, but they're having that education as we speak. They've been brought up, unfortunately, in rough areas. And look, I try and speak to them as much and educate them as much as possible, but they've got to go through it. You know,
it's a rite of passage. But it's a scary one, but you have to navigate it properly. And part of navigating it properly and sensibly and not making the wrong decision at the wrong time is through the education that you get away from school. It's the education in the flats. Yeah. It's the education in with your schoolmates, but in McDonald's after school. It's 100%. How you conduct
yourself. I done that all the time, by the way.
Did
that McDonald's thing around there. After college, 262 to Beckton, McDonald's. You had a guy working behind you. Buy a dip for 10p, you get a bag full of food. Yeah, it was like literally 10p dip.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're getting four bags of chicken nuggets and chicken sandwiches.
But you're right,
that education's important. So as we summarise, education, super important. But it can come from so many different avenues.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most important thing. I think, like I said at the beginning of this, the only thing that I'm going to lavish with everything that I have, I will throw at my daughter with everything I have, is an education.
Yeah, agreed. Enjoy this one, education.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, private school. Kept that one quiet.
Couldn't you tell by my demeanour?
You start using all those big words.
Couldn't you tell by my demeanour?
I could tell. When, and the clerks and all. I knew there was a private school student in there, and now the world knows as well. Rory, as always, thank you very, very much. Another great episode. Make sure you keep up to date with all our episodes. Remember, they come out every single Monday. Make sure you leave comments as well. We had a few comments come through, which is interesting. Let us know what you think. Let us know what subjects you want us to discuss. We'll discuss everything on The Men's Room, as we already have. Make sure you tune in for the next one as well.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.